This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, October 10th, 2012. I'm Antoinette Grahada.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. Support for KUAF comes from Northwest Arkansas Media, publishers of the Northwest Arkansas Times, Springdale and Rogers Morning News, Benton County Daily Record, and the Northwest Arkansas edition of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, offering a blend of local, state, national, and international news, plus business and Razorback news. More information available online at nwaonline.com.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, the drama department at the University of Arkansas Fort Smith prepares for the world premiere of Dramnium.
Also, a preview of a series of Tai Chi classes in Fayetteville this weekend, and a look at what it means if a project is Envision certified.
Those stories and more, but first, in advance of next year's legislative session, Arkansas lawmakers yesterday began working on the budget for the coming year. But they acknowledge many questions won't be answered until next month's elections. In an interview with Roby Brock of Talk Business, Democratic Senator-elect Uvalde Lindsay of Fayetteville acknowledged changes are ahead.
I think this budget session will see a move to more conservative government. I think there will be a lot of questions asked. A lot of good questions. The dialogue between the parties and between the members will be spirited. I think that's healthy.
The Joint Budget Committee started the process by looking at the financial needs of each state agency. The hearings begin less than a month before an election where the GOP hopes to win control of the state legislature for the first time since Reconstruction. But Republican Andrea Lee of Russellville says the key factor they'll be looking at is what is best for the state.
My experience is, in the end, we're always looking towards the same goal. Arkansas is a conservative state. I think it's going to be a conservative budget once again. We're all looking to figure out how to pay for the expected shortfall coming up, the $400 million that we're hearing about. And I think we're going to be taking a tight look. Rumor is people are already holding budgets, and it hasn't even really gotten into full swing.
Governor Mike Beebe is not expected to present his balanced budget proposal until after November's election.
Economic analysts say Arkansas's urban areas are growing. According to recently released data from the 2010 census, job prospects in larger cities aided that growth in urban areas, causing the state's rural population to grow less than 1% from 2000 to 2010. Michael Paco is the chief economist for the Institute of Economic Advancement at the University of Arkansas, Little Rock.
Arkansas is still at the rural end of things if you compare to other states. You know, with a population that's only 56.2% urban in 2010, that really compares to the national average really around 1930s or 1940s. Quite a difference from the national average, but that has to do with the fact that Arkansas is traditionally an agricultural state.
Paco says the fastest growing urban areas that had the largest increase in population were in counties attached to large metropolitan areas, such as Benton County in northwest Arkansas and Faulkner and Saline counties in central Arkansas.
A group wanting to create a watershed sanctuary in Cave Springs is one step closer to completing the project. The Illinois River Watershed Partnership announced last week it reached its fundraising goal to purchase 30 acres of land in Cave Springs, including 24 acres of urban forest surrounding the 6-acre Lake Keith. Delia Hawk is the director of the Watershed Partnership. She says when complete, the sanctuary will offer a variety of programming and amenities for visitors.
We'll be starting plans with game and fish to provide an outdoor classroom, restrooms, a pavilion, trails. We're excited to work with the Forestry Commission, identify trees, and have a watershed quest. We're working with the Nature Conservancy to preserve the area around the cave. We are excited about a grant from the Wingate Charitable Foundation, and they're going to provide opportunities for nature art there on site.
But while the ink may be dry on the deed for the property, the group has much work ahead before the sanctuary will be ready for the public.
We hope by spring or summer to be able to kind of have it open to the public from a safety standpoint, but also from, you know, to have those amenities available, at least the trails and some of the outdoor opportunities available to the public. But we're going to keep the gate closed for now until we can really address any of the safety issues that need to be addressed.
Hawks says brush and other debris must be cleared before the property will be safe for visitors.
A popular stream in Bella Vista will soon undergo rehabilitation. Daryl Bowman is the lake ecologist and fisheries manager with the Bella Vista Property Owners Association. He says Tanner Creek is in desperate need for restoration.
heavy floods in 2008, 2009, and I think even 2010 have just really damaged the stream itself in that area. And so the whole purpose of the project is to rehabilitate that stream and in a manner that it reinforces it better to withstand future flood events, but to use natural channel design techniques to do so because it is in a nature area.
Bowman says while oftentimes creek restoration efforts center on using gabion baskets or loads of large stones spread along shorelines, restoration efforts at Tanyan Creek will be different.
The idea here is to use natural channel design techniques and incorporate bioengineering where we use the mathematics of stream processes and natural materials to just make the stream behave better as a natural system and try to avoid those civil engineering techniques that don't benefit wildlife or aquatic life very well and aren't aesthetically pleasing at all.
Bowman says Bella Vista has formed a partnership to perform the necessary restoration work.
In order to be better stewards of our stream resources, we've contracted and partnered with Water Resource Conservation Center, which is a nonprofit located in Fayetteville, and they specialize in this sort of stream rehabilitation work. And they have secured what's called a state wildlife grant to work on Tanyard Creek and Bella Vista. And the state wildlife grant is federal money that funnels through the local state agency in any given area.
The entire project will cost an estimated $190,000, including the $70,000 state wildlife grant.
According to a study released by the Texas A&M Transportation Institute, traffic congestion on highways in northwest Arkansas is costing area residents and businesses more than $103 million. The study, commissioned by the Northwest Arkansas Council, studied 8 stretches of highway in Benton and Washington counties. Of the highways analyzed, U.S. Highway 412 between Arkansas 112 and Thompson Street in Springdale was the busiest, costing $12.6 million to drivers and causing about 137,000 hours of delay per mile annually. Highway 71B between Central Avenue and Mulberry Lane in Bentonville was the second most congested roadway studied, causing about 130,000 hours of delay per mile and costing drivers $11.2 million annually.
Partly cloudy tonight, 20% chance of rain and thunderstorms. Lows in northwest Arkansas about 43. In the Arkansas River Valley, lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, a 20% chance of rain and thunderstorms. Highs around 70 in northwest Arkansas, mid to upper 70s tomorrow afternoon for the Arkansas River Valley. And for tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of rain. Lows will be in the lower 60s in northwest Arkansas. Overcast with fog tomorrow night in the Arkansas River Valley. Lows in the mid-60s.
That was New Chance Blues by Punch Brothers, who will be performing at Yonder Mountain String Band's Harvest Festival at Mulberry Mountain in Ozark tomorrow evening. All of the musical interludes throughout today's show will feature songs from bands performing at the festival. And later in the program, Mountain Sprout, one of the bands performing at the 3-day event, will stop by the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
Now for a story on what may be the next big wave in environmental construction in Arkansas. You've heard of LEED certified buildings. It's the environmental gold standard for those who want to optimize recycling, renewable energy, and reclamation projects in their offices and homes. The Clinton Presidential Library, Heifer International's World Headquarters, and Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art are three of Arkansas's most notable LEED buildings. Well, a new certification is gaining traction. It goes beyond actual structures and focuses on large infrastructure projects such as roads, bridges, and airport runways. You may soon be hearing about a project being Envision certified. Bill Ruck, a civil engineer and senior project manager at North Little Rock-based Garver Engineers, is the first Envision sustainability professional who's been credentialed in Arkansas. He recently spoke with Roby Brock from our content partner TalkBusiness.net. Roby began that conversation by asking Bill Ruck what he does on a daily basis.
I am a civil engineer by trade. I am both a civil engineer and a land surveyor, primarily working in industrial development, ports and harbors, railroad, anything that develops land, that's what I've been interested in.
Tell me a little bit about the sustainability movement and how I think people are very familiar with how that has transformed building construction, but talk to me about how it has transformed construction of infrastructure projects like the kind that you work on.
Well, in effect, it really hasn't to this point, but we're turning the corner, and that's what makes this certification so interesting. This new program called Envision is that it catches the civil engineering world up to the LEED program as architects have practiced it. We've started with the basic HVAC systems and glass and use of products and protection of sites around buildings, and architects have done that for 10 years or more. But now we're looking outward to the larger environment and looking at what impact that airports and highways and waste and wastewater treatment and all those sorts of things, landfills, what impact all of those sorts of projects have on our environment and our community.
Give me an example of how you would use this rating system and this concept, say, for a bridge project or a highway project. What would you be looking for?
I would say that our highway department is already practicing this on our interstate system. If you've noticed the recent interstate rehabilitation projects, they have simply rubbleized or ground up the existing concrete material and not moved it at all. They save the energy to move it away and haul it off. They simply ground it up and used it as a new support system, and then they paved over it, and it makes an outstanding base course and a much longer, more durable product, and at a very reduced cost, as opposed to going out and getting stone to put under there. They simply reused the concrete.
So there will be a day in the not too distant future that we'll talk about buildings being LEED certified and infrastructure projects being Envision certified. Is that how it will work?
That's correct. That's exactly right. We hope so. And I'm excited about participating in, because it challenges the customary design process that we've been used to. Simply discharge the water, get it away from the site. Now we might make the water go into the ground and restore groundwater. It's really going to challenge us to use the right materials and use the right processes and involve the community to, you know, put it near a bus. If you got a huge factory, put it near a bus route, mm-hmm. you know, where the public can get to and from it in the cheapest way they can. Site it near the workforce. Don't put it out in the middle of the national forest, you know, or a great forested area or a great farmland. Put it close to where the people live, you know, and site it appropriately.
Bill Ruck is a civil engineer and senior project manager at North Little Rock-based Garver Engineers. He recently spoke with Roby Brock from our content partner, TalkBusiness.net. Support for TalkBusiness.net on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. And Verizon, offering a wide selection of productivity-enhancing tablets for small business, including the Apple iPad. More information at a Verizon communication store near you or online at vzw.com/smallbusiness and CEG Partners, using empirical data to better understand your customers' experiences and their loyalties. More information at cegpartners.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums.
Internationally recognized Tai Chi master Elaine Waters will be teaching a series of Tai Chi classes for all levels and interests in Fayetteville at the Arkansas Martial Arts Center this weekend. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich brings us a preview.
Tai Chi is often described as meditation in motion. also called Tai Chi Chuan. It has various styles, one form contemplative, the other combative. Master Elaine Waters will teach and explore Tai Chi in all its facets at several very affordable workshops this month in Fayetteville.
Tai Chi is rhythmic movement that is used to lubricate your joints and open the energy flow in the body. A lot of people take Tai Chi for similar reasons somebody might take yoga. Stress reduction is the most commonly known reason why people take Tai Chi.
This ancient Chinese martial art of self-defense cultivates relaxation because the positions and movements are very slow, but it's also precise enough to neutralize even the most powerful force. Compared to the aggressive martial arts of karate and taekwondo, Tai Chi looks almost passive, and there's a reason for that.
It's alignment and timing that allows one to effortlessly manipulate the force that's coming towards you from a larger opponent. But it is the distinguishing characteristic that I have from training with so many different Tai Chi masters, so that enables me to be able to teach Tai Chi to many Tai Chi students from a variety of styles, because I understand the energetics and core principle of the art as a whole.
Master Elaine Waters is only 5'2", weighs 110 pounds, yet this tiny American woman has taken 3 gold medals at top international Tai Chi sparring tournaments, having studied and been certified by the world's top Chinese Tai Chi masters. And if you take her class, you will see it in her posture and countenance. And although she looks to be in her late 30s, she's several decades older than that.
Well, Tai Chi is known for its amazing health benefits, balance being probably the most recognized, and next to joint mobility. Tai Chi, the rhythmic movement of Tai Chi, calms the body and lubricates the joints, and it's growing in popularity over time due to its health benefits.
Even the Mayo Clinic dedicates a website to Tai Chi, citing how it reduces anxiety and depression, improves balance, flexibility, and muscle strength, relieves chronic pain, lowers blood pressure, increases energy and endurance, while improving cardiovascular fitness, especially among older adults. That says a lot for a contemplative series of standing movements. In her workshops, Elaine Waters teaches the fundamentals: rooting, circularity, softness, connectedness, letting go, fluidity. Each posture is connected in a continuous flow, like a very slow dance. Plus, the only equipment you'll need for Master Waters' workshops are comfortable fitting shoes and clothing. She'll teach both beginning and advanced Tai Chi, as well as push hands workshops.
Tai Chi push hands is a game. It's a Tai Chi game, and this is the one that we use to play out the martial skill in Tai Chi. In other words, if you were in a Taekwondo tournament, if you were studying Taekwondo and then you went to a tournament, you would use sparring. That's their contact sport. But in Tai Chi, our contact sport is called push hands. And so two players are going to face each other very close so you can touch each other, and it's a pushing, pulling, grappling game. Points are scored on the loss of balance. So if you can get your opponent to lose their balance, you're going to score a point. And this is done through pushing, pulling, and what determines a Tai Chi move over a wrestling move, the difference between Tai Chi push hands and wrestling, is that when people are wrestling, both players are exerting force at each other. And it's true in wrestling, any great wrestler will be able to show you the advantage of being able to yield to force. Because if you initially resist and then somebody completely yields very quickly, it causes a loss of balance. And so in Tai Chi push hands, the person that wins is going to be the person who can be firm and then be soft and back to being firm again the fastest. So that you are literally disappearing when somebody attacks you, and then you can reappear with a substantial move a moment later.
Elaine Waters will also teach a workshop called Swimming Dragon Qigong.
Qigong is literally known as an energy exercise. So there are many, many types of Qigong. Tai Chi is actually a type of Qigong, because Qigong is a word that would mean, it's a broad word, similar to the word aerobics. Of course, there's many types of aerobics. So Qigong is energy exercises. It lacks the martial foundation. All of Tai Chi has a martial stance and martial applications to its every movement. However, Qigong is designed to open the meridians of the body and flow more energy. So the health benefits include balance, joint mobility, mental clarity. Qigong strengthens the immune system, lowers blood pressure, and increases circulation. The Qigong workshops that I'm offering in Fayetteville, Arkansas, are open to all levels of Tai Chi practitioners as well as beginners. This workshop is also a two-hour workshop. The entire Swimming Dragon Qigong exercise can be easily memorized in this period of time.
Elaine Waters, who lives in Colorado, began to study Tai Chi in the late 70s with Master William Chen, at first learning the subtle body mechanics, which led to push hands, then free fighting, and eventually she took up the Tai Chi sword. And after more than 30 years of studying and teaching, Elaine Waters has also mastered the art of hosting Tai Chi workshops.
These workshops in Fayetteville are an excellent way to reduce stress, calm the mind, and learn a short little exercise that you can use in your own home at your own leisure to be able to feel calm, cool, and relaxed anytime you feel you want to.
Master Elaine Waters travels and teaches half the year all around the United States and says she plans to routinely include Northwest Arkansas on her roster. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
Master Elaine Waters will host several workshops on Tai Chi, push hands, and Qigong for people of all ages and levels October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Arkansas Martial Arts Center on College Avenue in Fayetteville. For details, visit elainewaters.com. It is Wednesday, the 10th day of the 10th month, 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
If you haven't had enough of poetry, slam poet Sonia Renee performs tonight at 7 o'clock at RZ's in the University of Arkansas Union in Fayetteville. It is a free performance, and if you just learned about slam poetry last weekend, you can go hear more. Or you can go over to Giffel's Auditorium in Old Main for faculty authors and their books, introducing books by more than a dozen UA faculty members. That, too, is free, and it happens at 7 o'clock.
All right.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is What Dromnium, an original theater work from the University of Arkansas Fort Smith Theater Department, sounds like just 10 days before its world premiere at Breedlove Auditorium. A cacophony accompanied the backstage crew for the show this week. It's Tech Week. For a production long on enthusiasm and staged both on and above the stage, there is a revolving center stage, towering scaffolding on the set, a metal hoop that will roll with people inside within a few feet of the audience. This ambitious production is the spawn of Bob Stevenson, the director of theater at UAFS. Monday evening, he took a rare moment of rest.
I'm sitting. How weird is that?
Bob and most of the students have been working long days, sometimes 16-hour days, to get the acrobatic fireball production ready for the October 18th opening. The title, Dromnium, is a portmanteau, a combination of the Danish word for dream and the Latin somnium. Bob says it roughly translates to the land of dreams, and says much of what happens on stage in the production is in a dream state.
More things are possible than they are in the real world. I think in the real world, we get scared to say things maybe that we really feel or that we really want to say. But in the dream world, it's a little easier. things are a little more mysterious, a little more fanciful, a little heightened. And so it's not so difficult to communicate, except for maybe in our dream world where the people can't talk to each other.
But they do communicate in unusual, visually surprising ways. The two main characters in Dromnium live in the same house, but no longer in the same room. Their relationship is strained, but they meet in each other's dreams. And that's when, just like is often the case in dreams, the world begins to spin. Literally, a 24-foot-across revolving turntable serves as part of the stage.
80 wheels underneath it that move it around, and it's got a center axle that keeps it in place. And then this motor unit here, which has not been disguised but will be by the time the show starts, is a 5-horsepower motor with a gearbox in it, and it's what runs the stage.
The first of its kind mechanism at Breedlove Auditorium was designed and built by the UAFS Electrical Engineering Department. It begins turning with a simple flick of a toggle switch.
You know I'm ready for this.
Then that revolving Lazy Susan can deliver actors and props to almost anywhere else on stage. But the turntable is far from the only stage apparatus contributing to the surreal atmosphere. Scaffolding towers over the actors, there's a giant clock mounted in the middle of all that steel, and 3 rigging stations are secured to structures above the floor. Each rigging can hold 2 people suspended in fabric.
Aaron, make sure you're actively spotting. Okay, let's bring her in, please, to 5. Come in faster than that. Just sort of a half walk.
There are 6 actors on each rope that's connected to a rigging point. They're making sure that the actors on stage, wrapped up in silks, twisting above the stage, are safe.
They're always spotted by actors on stage. There are 6 actors that actually pull the line when only 2 are necessary. And so we have a safety factor of 3-1 there. And so it's really pretty much unthinkable that anything would happen. But it is still a trust exercise. You know, as a performer, you have to go, okay, I'm about to get pulled 15 feet up in the air by the guy that doesn't like me in math class. So, you know, it's a bit of an exercise in trust, but they've built a good sort of esprit de corps over the course of the show. They really do trust each other.
Many of those involved with Dromnium spent the summer practicing the skills required for Bob Stevenson's production, weight training included. Bob's background is in physical performance, and almost everything done in this show, he's done himself. While he's understandably secretive about some of the components included in Dromnium, he's happy to show off one prop used in the show, a steel hula hoop-like circle called a sear wheel. As it swirls about the stage, it creates a thick sound. During the show, 2 actors use the ring to move across the stage. They're inside it, going head over heels or doing cartwheels.
Weirdly, it's sort of like riding a bicycle. The first time you get in it, you're like, no, this is never going to work, and it doesn't. And you fall a bunch. And then eventually, you sort of stop falling, and you're like, wait a second, this is kind of working. It reminds me of when my dad taught me how to ride a bicycle. You know, it's like, he must be holding onto the seat, but then he wasn't, and I was still doing it. So what changed? I don't remember changing anything. Your body just eventually learns to adapt and become part of the apparatus. It's a very weird sort of, it almost feels like magic, but of course it's not. It's just your body adapting to the change in balance.
UAFS Theater has staged original productions of Bob Stevenson's before, but Dromnium seems to be upping the theater experience ante. Breedlove is relatively intimate, and much of the action, including the actors in the sear wheel, can be as close as 5 feet to the front row. If you're thinking Dromnium is an unusual show for a college theater department, you're correct. Bob says his research shows only one other college in the country consistently producing these kinds of shows. And he says he thinks the students benefit from working on brand new works.
When the students graduate, they will be asked to do original theater when they go to New York or Chicago. There's a lot of original theater in these larger towns. And most colleges don't tackle very much original theater. And so the students don't really get trained in how the process of original theater is very different from the process of Our Town, for instance, because it's already published and you know what you're going to do. You can design it very quickly. And it really doesn't take that many rehearsals. In fact, in the professional world, you might only get 14 or 15 rehearsals before you put the show up. Whereas when you're working on an original, everything's changing. You know, it's never really finished because even once an audience sees it, you still want to change things based on how it works and how it doesn't work. So it's a very different process.
Bob Stevenson says Dromnium is recommended for patrons 13 years and older because of some sensual content and some darker elements. Dromnium opens at Breedlove Auditorium on the University of Arkansas Fort Smith campus October 18th. Additional performances will run through October 23rd as part of the university's Season of Entertainment 32. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
We are inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio with three of the members of Mountain Sprout. Gentlemen, do you mind introducing yourselves?
Yes, my name is Dan Redmond, and I play the bass.
I'm Adam Wags. I play guitar.
I'm Grayson Van Sickle, and I hold a banjo.
You hold the banjo. And together you guys are Mountain Sprout. So can you tell me a little bit about how you guys got together as a band?
It was an accident.
A happy one?
Yeah. It was a happy accident. I mean, they all had better things to do, but they decided to do this.
Decided to take time out of our busy schedules. Yeah.
I joined the band 3.5 years ago when Melissa quit myself.
He was making a good living plumbing houses and industrial complexes, making way more money than, you know, of course, we would ever hope to make. But he's like, well.
But plumbing had lost its spark for Dan.
Were you recruited?
Yes. Yes, Grayson hit me up at, I lived in Tulsa, and they were playing the Mercury Lounge, and I went down to watch him. And he said Melissa wasn't going to make some of the gigs, so I said I'd cover them, and then while I was covering them, I think she quit. So then I had a lot more to cover.
I see.
So how long has Mountain Sprout been kind of an entity?
This core has been together for 7 years,
okay. Other
than me.
I was going to say three.
Thinking 3 year
time
increments.
Do fly, though.
Time does fly.
And when you mentioned Melissa, that's Melissa Carper, who used to be with the band.
Yes, Melissa Carper.
She plays with Carper Family Band, and she's got a handful of stuff, projects she does.
So did you feel at home? I mean, when you were covering, that's a little bit different than when you've been asked to be a permanent member.
Yeah, my history is in the swing and blues. So this was a different kind of thing for me. It took me a good year or 3.5, 4 years to get used to it. But it feels comfortable now.
Which means you got too used to it about yesterday.
Yeah. Right.
There is a song on the CD Refront. Well, it's on others, but the best. And it's Dry Counties.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're from Arkansas or some other southern states, that term means something instantly.
Mm-hmm.
If you have
yes.
friends that are in the north, they don't know what a dry county is.
Yes, we get some blank looks in certain states.
Really? Because they don't know what a dry county, what that
yeah,
means?
Yeah. That's.
Or you explain it to them and they're just in awe that not even that places have that.
I didn't realize that was a southern thing.
Yeah, many states, it's just regulated.
Oh,
it's a state thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that Dry Counties is one of those songs that really can get a crowd going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it usually does, especially in Arkansas. Everybody's affected by the Dry Counties that come to our shows. Definitely.
Yeah, or a lot of people will see in other states that'll, you know, they'll hear the song and be like, oh, yeah, I was down there once and I was driving through and we stopped to get beer. And, you know, it's like people tend to understand it if they've been around here.
Well, I moved here from New Orleans. some more. I went to the grocery store. I said, where do you keep your beer? And they said 40 miles from here.
Well, 2012, you guys are playing a couple festivals. You played Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue, and you guys are heading to Harvest Festival. How is a festival, playing at a festival, different from playing at a regular venue? I mean, is it, it's different for the acoustics, I'm sure, but is the atmosphere different as well?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Festivus, very Festivus environment. Everybody's stoked. You know, you get a get a more diverse crowd that wouldn't regularly hear you, so get to see a lot of people. It's way different. I like it. You get to mingle with other bands that you don't ever get to see when you're playing clubs throughout the year.
I think there's kind of a unity that develops after people have been not sleeping and malnourished for a few days. They kind of feel a connection, you know, especially if the band's been there, which we usually have with them.
You know, that's what we're striving for, is malnourished crowds that don't know what they're listening to.
Are they more appreciative?
They're so confused that we're like, by the time you play.
We're so out of our mind, you guys actually sound good.
200, 250 shows per year for you guys, is that right?
Try to.
That's been so you shoot for that many.
Yeah.
We're trying to get it down to like 12.
Yeah. Just 12 really high-paying
really
ones.
Really good ones.
Like with Willie Nelson or something.
Whom you've opened for.
I don't see it in the immediate future, though.
Well, if you're shooting for 200 and 250, obviously there is a paycheck involved. But if you were doing it just for the paycheck, that'd be a rough way to go. So you've got to enjoy the travel. You've got to enjoy the live crowds.
Yeah, I'd still be plumbing if it was for the paycheck.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's my passion. I love playing music, and it's a good core group of guys to play with, so I learn daily.
How far into a show do you have the idea that, oh, this one could be good, this one?
About 30 minutes before the show starts.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
what can you tell in the 30 minutes before a show starts?
You can tell everybody's mindset.
A lot of times when it's a really good show, you don't really notice it until afterwards because you don't really have to think about it that much. You know, if you're thinking about it too much, it's probably because something's a little off or something like that, you know. I a lot of times don't even realize it until the end. You know, I'll be like, oh, that was a good show. That was easy. And, you know, it just kind of flew through it or get in a zone. And
yeah.
Now, are the majority of your shows in kind of the Ozarks area, or do you guys go coast to coast?
We've been coast to coast, but the Midwest is our main area.
We've got a pretty good, we do actually, it's surprising, the further away we get, you know, we still find people that know us, but, you know, in towns we've never been before. But for years we've been kind of doing a steady circuit around Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, Kansas, some Illinois, and then just kind of we spiral outward from there. Every now and then we'll go on tour and just hit a direction we haven't been very much, but we've got a pretty solid base in the South and Midwest, you know.
Well, the CD you brought us is a best of your music. Was it difficult picking only 17 songs to put on here?
Yeah,
you guys
I think
do all
we
your
recorded
own?
18 or 19, but, you know, you got to stop at some point. And
well, that is that's the refried album, and we actually took a lot of time and made that, you know, compiled all the other songs together, and Dave Sigelding came out and pulled his camper into the woods because we wanted to make it not a studio album. We wanted to make it feel real, like campfire, hang out in the cabin thing. He pulled his recording mobile studio out in the woods and ran 100 feet of cable. And that's how we recorded that.
Yeah, and
that's Carver's Cabin.
That's a lot of the, like, you know, it's a best of album, but we actually did re-record all the songs. We didn't just pull them off the other studio albums. We figured kind of mixed a best of and a live album together, and that's kind of what that ended up being. But it's easier, especially if somebody hasn't heard us, instead of buying five albums all at once, you know, you can buy that one and get a little bit, you know, get an idea what's going on with it.
Yeah, we recorded it at Melissa Carper's cabin, which is a really cool little cabin out in the woods, and it was a fun little weekend or week, whenever it was. It was nice. We just sat in a circle and recorded it, and
just played songs.
It's my favorite one.
Sat in a circle where you each mic'd?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had some. He's mic had the room mic'd and just kind of set the sound up, and then after that was done, we just played through songs and like we always do, and kept the good ones. And
it was loose. It was a room like this.
Yeah.
Just.
Bang. And it, I'm pretty pleased with it.
Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about the song Little Bird? You guys were talking about outdoors, and I know birds make me think of the outdoors, so I was just
curious. Little Bird is a song I wrote for my wife, Amanda Van Sickle. It's a love song.
Oh. It's one of my favorites, personally.
Well, my boots are old, my clothes are dirty, my hat got a dent, I'm way past 30. I bought, I got a good woman, as sweet as she can be, and I got a little bird singing inside of me.
In the introduction, you said you hold the banjo. That banjo gets a workout, though.
Well, I pound on it, but I don't, you know, a real banjo player would say, you don't play that. And I'm like, you're right, I don't.
Huh.
I would rather be playing a axe or a chainsaw. Really, I would. So I play the banjo like I would play the chainsaw.
that's great. I mentioned that most of the band is here. Mm. Not everyone in the band is here.
Yeah. Yeah, Blaine Tebow is with his mommy right now.
Oh. His belly hurts.
His belly hurts.
Family obligations. He's got his family in town, and of course, you got to do mom first.
Sure. Mm.
Sure.
Well, we have a tradition.
We do.
In the Firm and Garner Performance Studio.
We do. If a band shows up and they're missing somebody, we get to talk about the person that's not here.
All right.
So what's an interesting fact or little tidbit you can tell us about your missing bandmate?
He lives in the nicest bus in Eureka Springs.
Oh, he lives in the bus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it like a school bus or like?
Yeah, school bus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Weatherwood stove.
Oh.
Yeah, it's decked out, you know. It's a school bus home.
it's decked out.
It's not like an old broken down school bus.
Sure. Yeah. Well, did
he drive it.
I think it runs.
Well, did he deck it out himself or?
Yeah. Partially. I think it had a wood stove, and I think someone was using it for like a camping or a hunting cabin vehicle, something like that. And a friend of ours found it, and Blaine ended up living in it. So I think he's definitely made his own modifications to it, though.
He definitely Blained it up.
Mm-hmm. That could be a new show on cable, Blaine My Bus.
Yeah, totally. He'd be the man to call, I guess.
Well, you're going to be at Harvest, and that's always a fun time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like Harvest Fest. It's good for what we do, especially. It's a nice speed, you know. It's not too crazy, but it's not, you know, but you can still get away with a lot over there.
Yes, you can.
They always have good acts there.
Yeah.
Good rootsy kind of stuff. Right up my alley.
Can that be an inspiration for you guys if you're seeing other bands?
Yeah. That's mainly what gets me going, you know.
And it's also fun that you can see these other bands and, you know, one of them can jump up with you, one of us can jump up with them, and that's always fun to throw something else in the mix.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of that setting, too, it's a lot easier to just kind of hang out and get to know people. You know, if you're – a lot of times you play bills with other bands and you meet them for a minute and you see their show, but it's in passing, you know, that kind of deal. You can usually, you know, spend some time just kind of hanging around and, you know, yeah, maybe hop up on stage with them by the end of it.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Mountain Sprout will perform at Harvest Festival tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 and again early Sunday morning at 12:30, just after midnight. More information about the band is available at mountainsprout.com. For festival details, visit yonderharvestfestival.com.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 10th of October, 2012. It's the birthday of Giuseppe Verdi, born in a village in Parma, Italy, 1813. Parents ran a tavern, but they recognized musical talent in the boy. They bought him a little piano, which he kept for the rest of his life, became organist at his church, went off to a nearby town, boarded with a wealthy grocer who liked him and wanted to support him, and whose daughter Verdi ended up marrying. He wrote an opera, Oberto, which was performed at La Scala, the most important theater in Italy, 1839. He was just 26 years old, and then tragedy struck. His wife died, encephalitis. Verdi had already lost two children in infancy, said he would never write music again. But then someone sent him the powerful libretto for Nabucco, and he could not resist it. He turned it into an opera, which premiered 1842. Audience applauded for 10 minutes after the first scene. Verdi used the same librettist for his next opera, Lombardi, a librettist who tended to put off going to work. Verdi locked him in a room to get him to write on time, once made the mistake of locking him in the room with his wine collection. Verdi wrote a total of 26 operas, including Rigoletto, La Traviata, Aida, and Falstaff. It's the birthday of the playwright Harold Pinter, born East London, 1930. Went to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts in London, didn't like it, left after a couple of years. First full-length play was The Birthday Party, which debuted in the West End, which, like many of Pinter's plays, came to be called comedies of menace, ordinary situations turning ominous or absurd for inexplicable reasons. His big hit was The Homecoming, 1965, about a man who brings his wife home to meet his all-male family, and she stays with the family to be their caretaker and prostitute. Pinter said that after the opening of The Homecoming in New York in 1967, it was one of the greatest theatrical nights of his life. Wealthy audience, women in mink, men in tuxedos. As soon as the curtain opened, they hated the play. The great thing was, Pinter said, the actors went on and hated the audience back even more. It's the birthday of the novelist and short story writer R.K. Narayan, born in Madras, India, 1906, author of Swami and Friends and other books. He was a close friend of Graham Greene, though they met only once briefly in London. They carried on a correspondence for years and years, and it took them around 15 years to go from Dear Mr. Narayan and Dear Graham Greene to Dear Narayan and Dear Graham. Here's a poem for today by Robert Pinsky, First Early Mornings Together. Waking up over the candy store together, we hear the birds waking up below the sill and slowly recognize ourselves, the weather, the time, and the birds that rustle there, until down to the street, as fog and silence lift, the pigeons from the wrinkled awning flutter, to reconnoiter, mutter, stare, and shift, pecking by ones or twos the rainbowed gutter. Robert Pinsky's poem, First Early Mornings Together, from his selected poems, published by Farrar, Straus and Giroux, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, celebrating 100 years of discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. And by Goddard College, offering low residency bachelor's and master's of fine arts degrees in creative writing. More at goddard.edu. Engineered by Noah Smith, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
KUAF is supported by Malco Theaters, offering birthday parties, special events, and group rates for individuals and businesses. More information available on the web at malco.com. The AMP, Arkansas Music Pavilion, welcomes country music recording artist Brantley Gilbert, plus special guests Uncle Cracker, Greg Bates, and Brian Davis, Friday, October 12th at the Washington County Fairgrounds location. Doors open at 6 with the show at 7:30. Tickets and more information available online at arkansasmusicpavilion.com.
Speaking of the AMP,
yes.
The Avett Brothers will be there on the 16th.
Yes, I will be there, and I know you will too.
I will, and I have something in my hand that's more valuable than gold.
Oh.
Not really.
No, I don't think
so. I have tickets to see the Avett Brothers.
Yeah, you do. You got a handful of tickets
for
there.
For free. We're going to give away a couple of pairs.
Yeah.
This is how it works. I'm about to ask a question, and you'll need to answer it by sending us an email. Okay? Send the email to ozarksatlarge@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was Leif Erikson Day.
Yes.
It's recognized as National Day in three countries,
mm-hmm.
Iceland, United States, and Norway.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, what year is it believed that Leif Erikson first set foot in North America?
All right.
It's a palindrome.
Okay.
So there you go. So you can look that up. Email us at ozarksatlarge@gmail.com. We'll pick two winners tomorrow on the show.
Yep.
Each of the two winners receive two free tickets to the Avett's at the AMP on October 16th.
Fantastic. All right. October is the month of KUAF's fall campaign. All contributions made during this month count toward KUAF's fall campaign goal. You can show your support today at KUAF.com.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Siloam Springs, Van Buren, and Wheeler.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
And you were busy last night.
Went to see Don Williams at Walton Arts Center.
How was it?
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Don Williams' voice is not just as good as it's ever been. I think it's better. If it wasn't a sellout, it was within a few seats. Mm-hmm. And everyone I talked to in the lobby mm-hmm. had the same reaction I did. It was just a wonderful show. Janae Fleener was on fiddle, local gal,
yes.
Now touring with Don Williams, co-wrote a song with Don Williams that they performed. It was just a really splendid night, and I hope he does get to come back.
Excellent. I'm sorry I missed it, so maybe next time.
Yeah, just fantastic.
There's so much live music going on around here.
Oh, you're going to go down to Harvest.
I'm going to Harvest Festival. I've never been. Kind of excited, kind of nervous.
Are you going to camp?
I'm camping.
Okay.
So we'll see. I've never camped for that long, so we'll see how this goes. But I'm excited about. I mean, that's what everybody says, and I have a good group of friends going, so I think it'll be an adventure.
And speaking of live music, tomorrow, live jazz in Furman Garner on Ozarks at Large.
Yes.
Yaniv and Rodham, Yaniv Tavenhouse and Rodham Stevan, who are playing at Legacy Blues tomorrow night, they're going to be in Furman Garner on tomorrow's show.
Excellent.
Jazz, guitar, and piano.
All right, so tune in tomorrow at noon for an all-new edition of Ozarks at Large. It'll be you and Christina.
That is correct.
And I will be back next week when I get back
from
the woods.
Yes. Have a good time.
I will. Leaving you guys now with some music by Delta Ray, the first band I'm excited to listen to tomorrow. So have a great Wednesday.
Hold my hand. Ooh, baby, it's a long way down to the bottom of the river. Hold my hand. Ooh, baby, it's a long way down, a long way down. If you get sleep or if you get none,
the cock's gonna call in the morning, baby.
And check the cupboard for your daddy's gun.
Red sun rises like an early warning.
The Lord's gonna come for you first.